This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Afternoons on FNR Football Nation Radio with Adriano De Monte and Rick D'Andrea.
Hello and welcome to Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Another day, another big show to come. Plenty of action on the pitch overnight. A lot of action to come later on this week. Cup-wise, we've got Asian Cup, of course, as well on an international front. And some cup games in France from overnight particularly that have produced, well, some remarkable results. More issues at Monaco, more issues for Thierry Henry as his side bowed out to a second division side. But more on that to come. The transfer situation is almost done with regards to Morata, Higuain, Piontek. We'll have an update there. And there's a massive update on one of the hottest prospects in world football in Frankie de Jong. This battle between Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain, it's over. They're saying, we'll tell you what the verdict is from that. Plenty to get through in the next couple of hours, of course. We are streaming live on Facebook and across our app and website, footballnationradio.com. So get in touch, say hello, and share your thoughts and opinions. And, of course, if you are with us on Facebook Live, our Facebook Live caption today, thoughts and prayers with Emiliano Sala. More on this tragedy that's unfolding to come very shortly. But as always, you are here with myself, Adriano Del Monte, and Rick D'Andrea for the program. A lot to get to, Rick, but I'll throw it over to you for the headlines.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, Adrian. Good afternoon to all our listeners out there. And we'll start with that tragic news that has been occurring in the last 12 to 24 hours in relation to the new Cardiff signing. Emiliano Sala is said to be one of the two passengers on board a plane which has gone missing over the English Channel between France and England. The striker had only signed with the Wales club, who play in the EPL on Saturday, and the French Civil Aviation Authority have formally confirmed that Salah was on the Piper PA46 flight between Nantes and Cardiff. And of course, from everybody here at FNR, we wish to pass on our deepest sympathies to all those connected and concerned. What does that all mean now for Nantes? Well, the Coupe de France game against Entente SSG, which was scheduled to be played for Wednesday night, so tomorrow morning local time here, Wednesday night obviously in France, that's been preliminary rescheduled to Sunday 4:30 p.m. But that is the furthest thing from anybody's mind at this stage. Cristiano Ronaldo has accepted an €18.8 million deal over tax evasion charges during his time in Spain. The 33-year-old was meant to spend 23 months in jail as part of his punishment, but convicts do not do time for sentences under 2 years, especially if their crimes are of a non-violent nature within the Iberian nation. In Coupe de France action, as we spoke about a moment ago with Nantes, Monaco, one of our favourites here at FNR Football Nation Radio, they've been bundled out of the tournament in embarrassing fashion, losing at home to Ligue 2 outfit Metz 3-1. Guingamp, one of our favourites here, they required extra time to get past Nancy 2-1, while Lille claimed a 1-0 away win over Sète. In the clash between the two Ligue 1 sides, Toulouse have beaten Reims 5-3 on penalties after the match finished 3-3 in normal time, 4-4 in extra time, and of course, we know what happened in the penalty shootout. Getafe will take a 1-goal lead into the second leg of their Copa del Rey match against Valencia, with Jorge Molina netting the winner midway through the second half. In other news that is revolving around the Copa del Rey, we brought to you this news last week. Levante, remember them? Remember how they lost to Barcelona in very controversial fashion? Well, they've called for a temporary suspension of that tournament, the Copa del Rey, until their appeal at the Court of Arbitration for Sport can be and will be heard. Barcelona is alleged to have fielded a player, Chumi, who was not sanctioned to play due to having a ban over him whilst being involved in the Barcelona B squad. However, what makes it even more interesting, and we'll talk about this later, is the Valencia-based club did not basically put in the paperwork, the required paperwork, within the allotted time, and now this is their final appeal. Even more interesting is that Barcelona and Seville are meant to be playing in a rematch of last season's Copa del Rey final within 48 hours' time. So we're going to be on Barca-Seville-Levante watch very, very closely here, Age. And back to you.
All right. Comprehensive, Rick. There's so much action on the pitch. Also looking forward to previewing some of those matches to come tomorrow and later on in the week. There was some Portuguese League Cup action as well, which we'll get through. So a lot to get through in the coming couple of hours. But let's start with the tragedy unfolding between, well, I suppose, Cardiff and Nantes. Just a quick summary of what's taken place. Again, very sad circumstances, of course, because the player who is the record signing at Cardiff from Nantes had made the move, had signed the paperwork, had done the deal, and was unveiled, and then went back home to say one last goodbye, as he captioned it on social media, to his former teammates before opting to return. But just a quick summary of what has taken place, some of which you've touched on, but you are right in saying that the French Civil Aviation Authority did formally confirm that Salah was on the flight that went missing. So that was after some concern that he may have been, once that was confirmed that he was actually one of only two passengers. On the aircraft. Now, obviously, immediately that was taken to, became public information, and many came out and spoke about what had taken place, and one being Patrice Garande, who is his former manager from Cannes earlier in his career, said, "I've been in front of the news since this morning. I'm waiting. I cannot bring myself to believe it. This is not possible. The boy has made life an absolute pleasure on and off the pitch for me the time we've known each other." And obviously it then got to the family, where the father had spoken and said that his family and he weren't even aware, and they were learning of what was taking place as it was unfolding to the public. So sources then came out and confirmed that the plane had actually difficulties as it was taking off, and in actual fact it had to attempt to take off on three or four separate occasions. So some concern there, and again, the family, keep in mind how difficult this must be, the family learning of this information as it's coming to light. Search was then underway, two helicopters, two planes, a lifeboat, but no traces of anything at this point in time. And there were reports that it was a very bad night weather-wise in the region there over the English Channel. Waves set to be at over 2 metres in terms of its height, and heavy rain making life very difficult for those obviously undergoing the search there. Teammates, it had been reported then a little later on that he actually travelled to the airport, or where the plane had been taken off, with a teammate of his, Nicolas Palios, and he had actually mentioned that his trip over back to Nantes from Cardiff had actually been quite bumpy, and that he had actually feared a little for his safety back to where he had come from. And his father then spoke again, saying, "Hours go by and we still know nothing. It makes me think the worst." And moments later, he was, according to AFP, this was overnight here local time, was presumed dead, according to reports, despite nothing found still at this point. It then got to a point where a WhatsApp between he and his family was actually released, and there was audio of this WhatsApp. The translation was from Emiliano Salah, and in English it read, "I'm on the plane. It looks like it's falling apart. If in an hour and a half, you do not hear from me, I do not know if they will send someone to pick me up, because they will not find me. I'm scared." And that was the last message vocally that was received from the player himself there. And at this moment, still no official word, but the unfortunate reality is it's not looking good for those involved. And of course, our thoughts and condolences and prayers go out to all affected by this incident. Of course, the other passenger on the plane, who I presume is the pilot of the flight. So that, in a nutshell, is what has taken place. We will keep you updated with the reports as they come to hand. But the other sad element of this as well, Rick, and not many are actually across this, but there were reports that emerged that the player was also linked to a potential move to the Chinese Super League. And this move to the Chinese Super League would have seen his club, or his former club in Nantes, and obviously his family, benefit significantly financially. However, a man of his word, Emiliano, had decided to honour his word with Cardiff, who he already agreed verbally to move to. And obviously, just another minor element here in what is a tragic situation. But again, that's what has taken place overnight. We will keep you updated with reports as they come to hand. But again, our thoughts and prayers are with all involved.
Yeah, there was a tribute also at the football club. I think they went to a city square and they laid down one lily. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Nantes are known as a flowered team. There's a few of those across Ligue 1. But yeah, one solitary lily was laid down in front of that city square, in front of near the stadium, just to symbolise how much they did love and respect and what has happened. So yes, as you are well and truly saying, Adrian, our thoughts, prayers and our condolences do go out to everybody connected.
And of course, as you did touch on, Rick, as well, Nantes understandably have had their match in the Coupe de France, which was set to take place tomorrow morning, preliminary scheduled for the weekend. But obviously a tragic event, and unfortunately not the first that we've experienced in recent times, but again, our thoughts are with all affected. All right, moving on to some of the other news headlines that you raised. Off the pitch financially, Cristiano Ronaldo has been fined significantly for tax evasion charges. Now, he was back in Madrid yesterday. Thinking back now, putting two and two together, Ronaldo's performance at the weekend against Kiev or for Juventus, not great.
Monday? Oh, not the worst, not the best.
The recent round, not great at all. No. I'm sure this was
something lingering in the back of his mind.
No doubt. And obviously, he's cut a deal. A lot of people asking questions about this on social media. You answered it perfectly in the headlines there. But how does this work? How can he cut a deal, avoid jail time, which is what many are asking? Because, well, the thought is such that if the everyday person were to do this, they'd be locked up for some period of time. But you are right in saying that if you aren't given a sentence that is 2 years or more, so 24 months or more, you avoid jail time, and he's cut a deal here for 18.8 million euro. But the 23-month suspended sentence is what all of these players seem to coincidentally get.
And it's all generally with Ronaldo, David Beckham, Luka Modric. There's been a few of those players, Lionel Messi. It's all about their image rights and what the money they earn from their face being attached to a brand, a marketing ploy, or what have you. So it is right in saying it's of a non-violent nature when they sort of do get caught up. But as I've said on a number of occasions, we have been in this position too many times with too many stars and too many of these sorts of issues. You'd think that Spain might sort of start to look at this a little bit closer. All those tied to the players might need to know what is happening and how might their client actually somehow get involved. It happens on far too many occasions for my liking.
Yes, it does. But again, well, how do you draw the line? Because obviously it's continually happening. It doesn't only happen in Spain.
No.
But it does happen that they
A majority of the time it does usually involve the Iberian nation.
That is true. But it is something which is pretty consistent across the world when it comes to individuals with this sum of money finding a way to just keep hold of as much as they can. But again, here will be fined 18.8 million euro, which is not a small sum.
Half a year's salary for him, considering what he's on at the moment. About half a year.
That is true. On this, though, did you come across this report that followed up from what has obviously taken place? But so this actually had something to do, because this has been going on for some time. And so it is being said that the 18.8 million euro fine to Ronaldo from the tax authority are two-thirds of the raise that Ronaldo had requested at Real. And there was, if you can recall, there were reports, small reports, but there were reports saying that this was a reason why he left Real Madrid, because Los Blancos weren't willing to support him in this case. The report goes on to say that, so Ronaldo requested to Madrid to pay the fine itself. Now, you recall that at that point in time, they said no, they declined. So Ronaldo decided to go, and Juventus agreed to pay the same salary that Madrid rejected.
There you go.
That was a factor as to what, maybe not the most important factor, but that was certainly a factor as to why he left Real Madrid. And now it's all done and dusted.
Makes perfect sense now that once all the pieces start to come together.
I just thought that was an interesting element there, but Ronaldo fined, will avoid jail time, but he's going through a bit of a difficult period at the moment with everything that is lingering and going on in the background. Of course, there are those other accusations from a decade ago in Las Vegas that are not going away. He's had these financial concerns to deal with as well. So a difficult period for a player who already has enough pressure on him on the pitch to have to deal with the off-field incidents now as well. Don't be surprised if there are another couple of games, as his performance indicated, against Kiev at the weekend, because that must not be easy in any workplace.
No, and we can only hope that for any fan of Cristiano Ronaldo and, of course, any fan of Juventus, that these things do overcome themselves and that he is able to concentrate 100% fully in order to help the team and himself keep on going through and getting better.
Couple of other, haven't started the situation off on the best note here, but there are a couple of other injury issues which have been confirmed. Again, we know Bellerin yesterday, he's out for the season. ACL, he's had it operated on, he will miss the remainder of the campaign. It's terrible news for a player who's been, he's been great this season, but he did take to social media to, well, basically say that, you know, in life there are challenges and this is just another one for me to take on board and do the best I can to come back stronger than ever before. And he said there are no obstacles in life you can't get over. Been a difficult couple of days, but I'm positive and ready to take whatever challenge comes my way. Thank you so much for the love and messages. You are incredible. Good positivity from being in there, but a tough 2019 for him, and he's up against it to get back and firing for the start of next season. But he's got that little bit of extra time now, given the fact that he has the 3 months after the end of the season to launch into the 1920 campaign.
Let's just hope that he's able to recover quickly, swiftly, and he'd be stronger and better than ever before.
Tottenham have also confirmed that Dele Alli, who suffered that hamstring strain, will be out till March. So that's no Alli, no Kane, and no Son until South Korea's Asian Cup campaign ends. For some time. Huge blow. We'll talk more about that a little later on as we start to look ahead to the Chelsea-Tottenham second leg clash in the League Cup, but that's a big blow for Spurs fans and, well, of course, his teammates. Let's get to what's taken place on the pitch overnight, though. And, well, I guess given the events of what's taken place overnight, not so important, put into perspective a little, but we will bring you the results nevertheless, from the Coupe de France, Portuguese League Cup and Copa del Rey. And we will start in the Coupe de France because there was, well, how surprising is this result, Rick? Monaco 1, Metz 3. Metz are the league leaders in
the Ligue 2.
Ligue 2.
Correct.
League leaders. So this technically is a matchup for Monaco, which if they finish in the relegation playoff spot in France, third from bottom, this is technically an opponent they'd be possible to face to remain in Ligue 1 next season if they were to finish 18th. They've been defeated here by 1-3 at home with some decent players in the lineup, including Falcao, who got on the score sheet.
On the score sheet, yeah.
Against the side which fielded a second string team. This is the lowest point for Monaco this season. They've had many of those, but this is the worst result under Thierry Henry, whose record now reads 20 played, 5 wins, 4 draws, 11 defeats. This is the lowest of the low, and I question whether or not Thierry Henry has killed off his managerial hopes long term with this disastrous start to life in Monaco, and I question that when they appointed him.
You did, and I will say this, but will they keep him on now to the end of the season?
Oh, they have to. They have to. Who else do they go for?
Well, it doesn't matter who they end up going for. He clearly hasn't been able to motivate this team going forward. He clearly hasn't been able to get the results that a lot of Monaco fans would have hoped for, even with a lot of these players returning to the lineup, even with the injuries that they've had, slowly getting over them, slowly healing, and slowly coming back. Monaco just aren't up to it. It's as simple as that anymore. It's taken 20 games to work out, and you've had to give them the benefit of the doubt with all the injuries and everything else, the new coach and every other situation. They're not up to it at all, Adrian.
They're not.
And they got really found out. The first goal that Metz actually scored was from some silly play in defence between Kamel Glick and Raji. Who backpasses with three other players around them? Who decides to have a bit of a distribution kick to kick
off? And these are experienced players.
30 plus. Yeah. They know what they're doing. Who decides to kick it about and then all of a sudden the ball gets taken off them, ping from outside the box, cracking goal with Daniel Subasic diving to it full effect and unable to get to it? Same with the second goal here. Same sort of issue. For me, it's not even that is the issue. It's not their defence.
Yep.
It's that midfield and sort of attack going forward. Alexander Golovin, we questioned why he was purchased by Monaco from, of course, Lokomotiv Moscow for $30 million. Well, he hasn't done anything, and I hate to say it, but this was his worst game, and he seems to be playing his worst game almost on a regular basis.
Yep.
Just has not fit into this team, and I think Thierry Henry's got a lot more headaches than a lot of people are thinking he does.
What do you think about his future? Again, what I raised at the start when they actually appointed him was if he fails with a project that is already destined to fail this season, because I didn't see too many areas for improvement here, what can Thierry Henry do to salvage his managerial future? What hope did he have of coming out of this Monaco debacle better for it to get a better job? And I don't think it's possible.
No, I don't. Well, certainly based on the results, based on even the football that the team's playing, I don't think there are too many possibilities and too much hope, really, for him going forward at this stage. I mean, the record you read out, 5 wins, 11 losses, it's not something you want to have next to your name. He's almost better have stayed at the Belgian national team as the assistant coach for another World Cup cycle or even a European Championship cycle.
Yeah.
Built up his reputation, built up his repertoire, and then maybe look to a position a little bit more advanced going forward.
Yep. That may be the option, but it's very difficult to see after that performance how this side will survive the drop in Ligue 1.
No, they're gone. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. They're gone.
They are gone. They are gone.
I give Gangop more chance of staying up than I do of Monaco.
Well, Gangop narrowly avoided the same fate here. Gangop away to Nancy. A Nancy side who, this was the bottom team in Ligue 2 against the bottom team in Ligue 1. So this result is no better.
No. It's a little bit better.
Well,
little.
1-1 after extra time. Sorry. 1-1 after 90
normal
minutes.
Time.
2-1 after extra time. 102nd minute goal by the Ligue 1 Cellar Dwellers. They win. They go through just. But it is these two sides, and unsurprisingly given these results, Monaco and Gangomp, that very likely to be playing in Ligue 2 next season, maybe alongside Nancy and Metz.
What I took out of this one, though, is Gangomp, after what happened to them, that 9-0 drubbing against PSG, sure, it took them a little bit of time, but they've still won. They've still come out of it. They've scored a goal, and they were managing, by the end of it, to walk off the field with a win. So after what happened, psychologically, they would have been affected. As much as the players wouldn't have said, oh, no, we're going to be fine, we'll bounce back. Something in the back of their mind always tinkers away when you get smashed so ruthlessly by any team. Nonetheless, positivity here for Gangomp. They do go and advance through to the next round.
Lille, the other Ligue 1 side in action, they had a 1-0 win at Sète on the road. Bamba with the goal, 48th minute. So Lille go through, Gangomp go through, Monaco go out for the Ligue 1 sides in action. Last couple was an all Ligue 1 affair between Toulouse and Reims. You were across this one closely. It was a thrilling match with a lot of goals and then a penalty shootout.
Talk about an actual highly entertaining affair. As I said, 3-all in normal time. 4-4, so both teams managed to score, including the 119th minute penalty to equalise and make it 4-4. And then I think it was 5-3 in the penalty shootout. So 4-3. So congratulations there to Toulouse, who keep on advancing.
Very entertaining match there. Toulouse go through. Reims bow out at that stage of the competition. More Coupe de France action tomorrow morning. Rennes are in action. Saint-Étienne Dijon, an all Ligue 1 affair. Caen in action. And PSG Strasbourg. What a match this will be. Strasbourg playing great football in Ligue 1. PSG, of course, though, fresh off cup elimination. They will want to bounce back from that. Obviously, they had the win against Gangomp, but their last cup match in the Coupe de la Ligue, they were eliminated. Big opportunity here for Strasbourg. PSG have confirmed that they will play a strong side. Tuchel has said that he will play Dani Alves in midfield as well, has really enjoyed Dani Alves a little higher up the park. But a bit of a test here against their bogey side, PSG.
It is their bogey side. Strasbourg have gotten and managed to get a few upset results over the last couple of seasons as well. And, of course, as we've seen, what happened in the Coupe de la Ligue, they were eliminated. So this is why Thomas Tuchel is going to take this very, very seriously.
I think they'll win, but I think Strasbourg will push them all the way. Strasbourg have been in really good touch. There is a Ligue 1 match tomorrow morning as well. Nîmes up against Angers, one of many catch-up fixtures after all those matches that were missed in the December period. But Nîmes, Angers, two mid-table sides. Angers needing to... Well, Angers did get that win at the weekend, which took them clear of the drop zone. But another big opportunity here for them to get themselves back up the table. For Nîmes, though, if they can win this, they're in the top half. They'll be 10th. So a massive opportunity here for both sides. That match at Nîmes tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. One match in the Copa del Rey this morning. Getafe 1, Valencia 0. Valencia lose again. Getafe with a goal 13 minutes from time through Molina. 1-0 result in the first leg, an all-important clean sheet as well. And Getafe proving that their recent form has been no fluke. They are on absolute fire across all competitions.
Was it four wins out of the last six, if I'm not mistaken?
Four wins out of their last five, and only one loss since the middle of November. And that was a 1-2 home loss to Barcelona. They are flying, playing really good football, and well, with the clean sheet, one foot in the next stage, the semi-finals of the competition.
And they've arguably got probably the most informed Spanish striker at the moment in, of course, Jorge Molina, who, well, Luis Enrique, if he needs to rely on a couple of strikers maybe over the next few months or even the next year or so because of all the injuries that he's got at national team level, he might have to go and recall the 36-year-old and tell him to lead the troops in attack. Mm. Just goes to show how Getafe have actually revolutionised him a little bit more going forward. And I think he actually now needs to be given some serious consideration for a national team berth.
There is one match tomorrow in the Copa del Rey that does feature Sevilla and Barcelona. We'll bring you the full recap of that tomorrow. Big news in this one, Messi will not feature.
Correct.
But this is if the game even goes ahead. That's because right. There is that big story that you mentioned. Levante have asked for the Copa del Rey to be suspended as they take their appeal over Barcelona's progress to the Court of Arbitration for Sport after Barca allegedly fielded an ineligible player in their recent meeting. So Sevilla-Barca at this stage is scheduled. We will see what will happen. You would imagine once the morning rolls around Spanish local time that there will be a few developments there. So keep your eyes posted later this evening here local time in Australia that Sevilla-Barca may be temporarily postponed.
Yeah, there's a little bit of information just to provide a bit of colour and context about that I want to bring to everybody's attention. So you've labelled what essentially has been happening. Now, how Levante have gotten themselves into the position to going to the CAS is because they failed basically within the 48 hours to actually appeal the result. You get 48 hours in any Spanish competition to appeal what the result is, to put in basically a complaint. Mm. They failed to do that. They then went to the appeals committee, who dismissed the claim. And so obviously now they feel that they need to go to the next level, which is the CAS. And they've got 15 days from that result. So it's only been, a week and a bit since we last discussed the Levante 3-1 Barcelona result. Unfortunately, it didn't go in their favour. They need to basically put this in. They think that there should be a temporary suspension and appeal. And you know what? They have every right to believe that they should be the representatives through to this stage of the tournament.
There you go.
We've said it before.
I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come on that in a few hours' time, and we will have you covered here across the FNR network. But Sevilla-Barca tomorrow, Getafe 1, Valencia 0, recapping that match there. We are at the quarterfinal stage of this competition, so eight teams remain. And, well, there will be four very shortly after the second legs take place. One match in the Portuguese League Cup overnight, Benfica-Porto. Semi-final, it's finished. Benfica 1, Porto 3. Porto's stunning form continues there through to the final where they will take on Braga or Sporting Lisbon. Sporting and Braga meet tomorrow. But Porto are one of the form teams in all of Europe. They are playing at an exceptional level at the moment. They did slip up and they have that incredible winning streak across all competitions, which ended at 18. Sporting 0, Porto 0. That was a couple of weeks back. Then they had a draw in the other cup competition in Portugal, which they eventually won in extra time. But here, they have taken care of their fierce rivals in Benfica by 3-1. They've done it easily. And they are on track to win it all domestically this season.
They are. And if I'm not mistaken, who was the last team to beat Porto? I think it actually may have been Benfica. And that was in the league a very, very, very long time ago. So a little bit of revenge there in the Portuguese Cup, and that sees the Dragão through to the final. Congratulations to them.
Of course, drawn with Roma in the UEFA Champions League, and a massive opportunity for them with the signing of Pepe as well to maybe go through to the quarterfinals of the competition. They're looking very good to do exactly that. But that's your news on the pitch from the morning. It was.
There's a little bit more Asian Cup results in case people haven't heard.
We have a lot more to get through. I have more notes than I've ever had, but go for it.
Very quickly, I'll give you just the results, just so you can cross them. Of course, two quarterfinals were decided. South Korea defeated Bahrain 2-1 in extra time, and Qatar beat Iraq 1-0.
Qatar going deep in that tournament, looking
Felix
very
Sanchez
good.
Might be staying on.
Maybe. We'll discuss that later on in the week and if they go all the way. But, of course, for all things Asian Cup, do join the evening's crew this evening, 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Second shot, is that on-field stuff done? That's the on-field stuff done. Plenty more coming up on the program. All right, let's get to a small snippet of transfer news. There are some big, big transfer stories. We want to give a quick recap of some transfer stories that have done the rounds overnight before getting into the juicy stories, including Higuain, Piontek, Morata, and more. We have a lot to get through. But just a word on each of the following, Rick. So, in no particular order, we have been discussing Monaco. Monaco and Arsenal are in the running for out-of-favour Atletico player Gelson Martins. At this stage for Monaco, I don't think it matters who they bring in. Just nothing has worked at this point in time. And if they are to make a move for a player who has been out of form this season, are they really the club to bring the best back out of this player?
Well, has he really played too many minutes for Atletico Madrid?
No.
He had that controversial transfer from Sporting Lisbon across to the Rojiblancos. Blancos. If you recall, it had to do with the whole invasion of the training camp at Sporting Lisbon, sort of then going into the contracts and annulling them. So I don't think Gelson Martins is going to be the right fit for any club at the moment, whether it be Monaco, Arsenal, or Borussia Dortmund. It doesn't matter who it is. He just needs to sort out everything off-field, then we'll worry about everything on-field.
One player who struggled to find his feet at, well, almost any club he's played at, he's seemed to fall out everywhere he goes, Mario Balotelli. What a strange night for Balotelli it was. Was strongly linked to Marseille. There was reports saying the medical was going to take place. But then, at the last minute, two clubs have been linked. West Ham United being one, obviously given a couple of changes which are imminent there. And Sassuolo the other, given Kevin Prince-Boateng's exit. Since then, though, there are reports saying that today, local time in France, Marseille will conduct a medical and the player will become a player of Marseille. I'd be putting my money that Marseille will win the race here, but Sassuolo and West Ham entering at the last minute is quite interesting.
It is quite interesting. We know Sassuolo need now an attacking midfielder / centre forward to obviously offset what Kevin Prince-Boateng gave to them. We know West Ham have been linked to just about every forward going around in world football, in particular over this January transfer window. So let's wait and see. Ultimately, though, in my eyes, he will become a blue and white Marseille player.
I agree. I think Marseille is the destination for him there. Saying in France, PSG Arcasse, obviously former Real. Torino linked with a move here for Jesse, the former Real. Is he currently on loan?
No, I think he didn't go out on loan.
So PSG to Torino, interesting. Would that be the home for him? Not so sure. Torino have made a few bizarre acquisitions in recent seasons, Joe Hart being one.
That was one.
This is one which, well, maybe an opportunity for the player to find a new home.
I just wonder with Hesse, he hasn't been able to find his place at PSG in Paris. He hasn't been able to establish himself in the first team. I think he needs to give one of these teams that are willing to take him on a crack and not worry about the pay packet that would be coming in on a weekly basis.
Last few in this little transfer wrap, staying in Italy. Napoli's Alan, still strongly linked to Paris Saint-Germain. Now, Paris Saint-Germain have an injury concern with Marco Verratti in midfield to deal with, which they're refusing to release what the damage is, what the extent of the damage is. He will definitely miss the next week of action, will not play against Strasbourg tomorrow morning in the Coupe de France. But no word as to the significance of the injury. Alan, still linked as a replacement, but he will not come cheaply.
He will not come cheap. I think Napoli are demanding something like around the 80 million euro mark. be interesting to see when Verratti's injury is resolved, what would happen if Alan were to have moved across. Who would Thomas Tuchel then prefer in that sort of central defensive midfield position?
Staying at Napoli, Mundo Deportivo reporting that Napoli are considering and will agree to pay €25 million for Villarreal's Pablo Fornals, which could be an interesting one, a player who has shown a bit whether or not he's a player that Napoli need. That's what the reports are saying, but interesting link there.
Yeah, interesting. When I read this, I thought to myself, well, do Napoli really need Pablo Fornals? Do they really need a midfielder slash winger slash forward going in attack? Well, yeah, it adds a little bit of depth into that sort of area, but I don't think he's too required there for the Partenope.
Last one in Italy, Sandro Tonali, who's a young gun coming through the ranks at Brescia, already dubbed the next Andrea Pirlo. He told Sky, I'd love to be coached by Gennaro Gattuso. Interesting links here, given his respect for Gattuso, Gattuso being the AC Milan coach, and AC Milan desperately needing gun young players to come into the team. Maybe something to read into for the start of next season, as the player will certainly be playing top flight football in Italy.
And considering there are a couple of season long loan moves there at AC Milan, it'll be interesting to see if they sort of shift those players over and maybe bring in Tonali from Brescia.
And the very last one, Moise Kean, youngster from Juventus. Rafa Benitez reportedly interested in him, so maybe Newcastle could be a home for the player who, interesting position, he's part of the squad, clearly isn't going to play too many minutes with the likes of Ronaldo, Dybala, Douglas Costa, Mandzukic, Bernardeschi, Cuadrado there, but maybe an opportunity to get some football in a black and white strip elsewhere.
Just in another country. Could be a nice move for him if he ultimately says I do to that move.
We are back talking big transfers here on Afternoons on FNR Football Nation Radio. Let's get to some of those heavyweight names right now, because there is this trio of players which, well, are we a little bored of discussing? We have been...
The clock goes back to zero.
The clock goes back to zero, and we have been discussing Piontek, Higuain and Morata for what feels like months. It's been 10 days, but it is, I believe, tomorrow or today, local time, that it will be done.
Yes.
This will be done. Morata is an Atleti player, with exception to the official announcement.
Correct.
Gonzalo Higuain will reportedly have his medical today. And Piontek, similar to Morata, is a Milan player, just awaiting the official announcement. So I think they are awaiting Higuain's medical, and once that is complete and successful, I do believe then the three announcements will be made.
Higuain was actually meant to fly to London in this overnight period, so during the Australian daytime. But obviously what happened with Emiliano Sala, that sort of frightened him a little bit. So he's going to be flying there later this evening, local time here, but of course, early morning in England and of course in Italy. So that one there, the only thing with Higuain is, will all the papers and all the medicals be done before he could possibly report for Chelsea in their cup match against Tottenham?
Yeah, well, that's going to be a big element, but I think they just need to get the deal done so the other clubs can all move on. There have been some Chelsea fans I've seen across social media, this is just an interesting talking point, ask, well, if we're going to go for Higuain, who will obviously cost more than a Piontek, and there is a younger Piontek who has scored more goals this season available for just $35 million that AC Milan will eventually have to spend, why don't we go for him?
Just cut out the middleman.
Cut out the middleman. Why don't we take him? Why don't we benefit off this young striker's hot form? My response to that is, point being, Mauricio Sarri wants Higuain. Mauricio Sarri needs Higuain, not Piontek. He needs Higuain. Whether or not he settles for life in the Premier League immediately back into Mauricio Sarri's system, we'll see. But there's your answer in short to that. It's Higuain fits the Sarri system.
And you've also got Michy Batshuayi, who is at Chelsea, who is more or less, I think he's might be a year or two older than Piontek. So you wouldn't even need to go after Higuain. You've already got the ready-made replacement for Piontek in Batshuayi within your own club and within your own system.
I'm so glad these deals are about to be done.
Thank you.
No more
Higuain to wherever he needs to go discussions.
And I do think, we've discussed this in depth, but I do think in the end, I think all three players and three clubs will benefit. I think that Sarri will unlock the full potential of Gonzalo Higuain again. Higuain will feel at home with the system. I think Morata goes back home to Madrid and he feels at home under Diego Simeone, a manager who's brought the best out of almost anyone. And I think Piontek, What a rise to stardom.
Considering that he was almost a nobody, say, last year.
He was a nobody come August, round one this season. He has just had one of the great rises in football in recent times. Can he now take that form to a huge club, a massive club in Italian football, in AC Milan, and maybe bring them back to the pinnacle of Italian football? Clearly not this season, probably well, not
maybe,
even next season.
Maybe, if he can all of a sudden get the team into the Champions League.
From a Scudetto perspective, no. But from a Champions perspective, absolutely. Can he bring them back to the top where they, well, again, a club of that prestige deserve to be? Maybe he can. So I think this is the perfect move for the three clubs involved. So I don't think any club in particular wins out. I just think the players have found suitable homes. It will be interesting to see, though, what Genoa do to replace Piontek. They, too, were very briefly linked to Mario Balotelli as well, as just having a replacement to come in and fill the void left by a star player who's gone out. They do have a young player called Kwame, who's an Ivory Coast international, who, from all reports, is a star in his own right. They do have Goran Pandev, who is very experienced. But interesting to see how the smaller clubs fare after the departure of Piontek. But big transfer, and I'm glad it is done. One of the other big transfers that was done, Kevin Prince-Boateng, he has been unveiled to Barcelona, the number 19 shirt. He juggled the ball. He did what he needed to do. He had a nice unveiling there. And then he spoke to the media. Your thoughts on his comments, Rick? A big honour and a dream come true. 31 years of age, making the move that he probably thought he'd never make in his career. Well done to him. He did, though, go on to say, I haven't come here to be a starter. He's aware
of it. So he knows his situation.
He knows the situation. He did say, though, I'm not here to be a starter, but I am here to be here for many years. So I think his mentality is in...
It's in the right spot,
right spots, the right areas. Kevin Prince-Boateng could very well have a role to play under Valverde. His performances will dictate exactly that. But don't know if you caught the highlights of his first training session. He was in fine form.
Was he?
And looking very good. So I'm excited for this arrival. It is one of the most bizarre transfers we've seen maybe ever.
Ever. Oh, but Thomas Gravesen to Real Madrid, I think, tops that a little bit.
Doesn't have to be the most bizarre, but it is in the mix. And certainly not one we were expecting, given he was playing for Sassuolo just days ago and was very happy to be doing it.
And more information has come out about the role that he will play. This is the thing that we both questioned on yesterday's program. He's going to be playing almost as a centre forward. He's going to be, I guess, the substitute to Luis Suarez when Ernesto Valverde wants to play almost a false nine. So it's a very, very interesting tactical setup that Valverde wishes to take with Kevin Prince-Boateng, the Ghanaian international, in his 11.
He is a top player.
We're not denying that at all.
He's a top player. He's had a strange career path, but he's a top player. And at his best, maybe with Messi and Suarez, he could just fit in perfectly at this level. And again, who knows what the plans are for Coutinho, Dembele injured and co. Maybe he will play more regularly than we're led to believe.
Maybe.
Still strange, nevertheless. All right, here's another one. Now, Benjamin Pavard, signed for Bayern Munich from Stuttgart.
Deal 35 million.
Yes. Deal done. Will join season's end.
July 1.
Start of next season. There are reports, though, that are saying that Bayern Munich were keen to activate it immediately, obviously knowing that, well, they need to be at their absolute best to eliminate Liverpool from the Champions League, and they need to be even better than that to knock Borussia Dortmund off top spot in the Bundesliga, where they trail them by 6 points. Stuttgart, though, are not interested.
And they've even offered up to 10 million euros to have this move brought
forward. An additional 10?
An additional 10, so up to 45 million euros. And Stuttgart are saying, well, no, we're not interested in the extra 10. We don't need it at the moment. You're getting him in July. What this says to me, though, is if you actually start to look at why Bayern Munich are making this move, it says to me that Joshua Kimmich is now going to go into centre midfield and Rafinha has actually agreed to go to Flamengo. This is why they want that right back coming in. They didn't feel, or Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Vladislav Mozic and co. probably didn't feel that Rafinha would be returning to Brazil so soon, even though the move had been tabled for quite a long time. I think now one door is now closing on the Brazilian. And Bayern Munich won't cover it right back. Simple as that. That's why they're willing to pay that little bit extra to try and entice the Frenchman and his entourage to move across earlier.
You can understand why Stuttgart aren't willing to make the move, though.
Of course.
They've got their own fight on their own hands, which is avoiding the drop this season. And they know that Pavard will be very important in helping them do exactly that. So
agreed.
You can understand, but more money on offer for a player. I still think 35 is very cheap.
Oh, Of course it is.
35, very cheap, particularly when I tell you the money on the next player coming through. But 35 million for a player, yeah, sure, who burst on the scene at the World Cup, but a player who is going to be a key element of that Bayern Munich outfit for many, many years. Well, that's what they plan anyway.
That's what they plan anyway. We'll have to wait and see whether it does become executed.
All right, speaking of players coming through now, Frankie de Jong, the latest here. Now, the young Ajax midfielder, highly rated. This sum of money, I think, is absurd. There has been this battle between Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain, reportedly, for months now. PSG's offer was max 75 million euro, which is a bit much. For a player who, to be fair, hasn't really achieved anything.
No, nothing. He's shown very good glimpses. He's a very good player.
But glimpses aren't worth 75 mil.
That's right.
Barcelona, on the other hand, are willing to pay, and this is why reports saying they have now won the race, are willing to pay 90. 90, so it's 75 plus 15 in add-ons, 90 million euro for a player, 21 years of age, who hasn't proven anything bar show some glimpses of brilliance. Ridiculous money to pay. And you know what? He probably will go on to become one of the best midfielders in world football, but that is an absurd amount of money to pay for a 21-year-old Ajax player at this point in time.
Agreed. The battle that, and we've spoken about this for months on end, it's always been those two clubs with Manchester City sort of thrown into the mix every now and then. That is absurd if Barcelona are willing to now pay 90 million. That is a lot of money for a 21-year-old who ultimately hasn't done too much.
Far too much.
Way too much.
Far too much money.
And he won't even be guaranteed a starting 11 berth.
Well, that's exactly the point there. He's not moving to a team where he's guaranteed to be playing. He's moving to a team where they have stars everywhere. And in the middle of the park, they have already added Arthur this season, who set in very well alongside Rakitic and Busquets. So whose place is he taking?
That's right. That's why I still feel the PSG move might be the one, even though the reports are saying it's only 75 versus the 90 that Barca are willing to pay. I still think the PSG move might be the one that ultimately goes ahead. He does have a place in that starting 11. That's for me. If Frankie de Jong is to move, he needs to go to a team that will give him the starting minutes. And that's why I think PSG will be the one that will ultimately get his signature.
All right, well, speaking of uncertain situations and speaking of Paris Saint-Germain, our other good friend Adrien Rabiot is another of those who has endured one of the most bizarre, messy situations that I can ever recall. I can't recall in all my time a player being put through what Rabiot has put through and vice versa. So the latest is PSG have banished him to the reserves. Mm-hmm.
We've
know
that for months, yep.
For refusing to sign a new contract, and that would be fine. Apart from the fact that PSG figures have stated publicly that it's a punishment for his choice and behaviour, which is not fine. So now Rabiot is taking legal action, or so they're saying, on this. His mother is his agent, and his mother is very keen to pursue this. But the club, both haven't been respectful of one another, both the club and the player. But the club are not honouring the fact that he wants to see out his time with PSG, despite wanting to move to Barcelona. I think this is as messy a situation as I have ever seen in football.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't recall too many other messy situations. If you've got one, let us know on Facebook, live, Twitter, or give us a call.
No, there's not.
9999. No, there would be a bit. I think this is
not as long and ongoing as this. This is just ridiculous. He's a talented player. He's French, and he's being treated very poorly, and he's not really treating the club.
There's two aspects of it. He doesn't want to sign a contract extension, and so as a punishment, he's been sent to the reserves team until he basically.
Surely that's not acceptable behaviour from PSG, though.
Not acceptable behaviour, but I'm sure that there have been other clubs who have been in very similar sorts of situations, maybe workplaces, where you go on gardening leave. It's a similar sort of thing there as well.
Yes.
It's not unusual. It's not accepted, is probably where it sort of lies for me, but this is the approach that I did in Rabiot. This is the consequence that he has to suffer for the next 5 months that he has left on his contract. He might have to just play in the reserve team, take his weekly wage, and go home.
I think it's a bit much. But he, again, there's the other element with De Jong. If Rabiot moves to Barcelona, who's fitting where?
That's right.
I don't see how those two can play at the same club.
No. Absolutely not.
All right. Elsewhere. Basaksehir here, Turkey. They've signed Demba Ba.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yes, well, Rick, you've got to do your research. Demba Ba has moved, returned to the Turkish Super League. He's left Shanghai Shenhua for Başakşehir, who played their football in Istanbul, of course, and he has joined this incredible list of players who currently play for that club.
Is Samuel Eto'o still there?
Samuel Eto'o is not still there.
No. Okay.
Robinho is there.
There you go.
Emmanuel Adebayor is there. Mm-hmm. Gao Clichy is there. And Arda Turan also there. So this incredible squad list is now, well, Demba Ba has added his name to the list. Other names who you may recall, Elgero Elia, who once played for Juventus very, very briefly. Who else is there that you may know, Rick?
Well, there's a few names just in general.
Gökhan İnler,
yes. The former Inter player, yes. Inter-Napoli player.
Napoli.
But those five names that you've read out, what is this? The EPL of 10 years ago or something like that? They've
That's
all reunited in, of course, in
You know
Turkey.
Who the other player is there? Emre.
Used to play for Benetoglu.
Inter Milan in the early 2000s. He's the captain. He was a star at Inter back in the day. He then went on to play for Fenerbahce, Atleti, and Fenerbahce again. This is an incredible squad that they have, but I'm going to pull it up now, but they are not top of their league. So a bit of a blast from the past there with all of these big former names. Well, still big names.
Well, they were top last season. I think they then got edged out to the title very, very close.
They didn't
close.
Win last season.
No,
though,
but they were very close for, I think, almost the entire season. I think it was a couple of matches on the final few match days.
Three or four teams deadlocked for large parts of the campaign. I can tell you, though, this season they are top. They're six clear of Galatasaray, who are second. It's, of course, down... This season's been a strange run in Turkey because Fenerbahce have had the worst season had in some time. They are level on points with Akisarspor, who are 16th and occupy the relegation spot. They're level on them, just goal difference. One goal separating those two sides.
You don't want to get relegated on goal difference, do you?
No, you don't. But Galatasaray and Başakşehir, the top two, Başakşehir are well clear, but haven't been in great form of late. So, interesting season. We'll keep you posted with Başakşehir and Demba Ba, whether or not he can settle in nicely at that club. But Robinho still getting on. He's their top goal scorer this season with 8 goals and a few assists as well. There you go. I'm glad I surprised you with that one. Let's go back to Italy. Matteo Darmian, update here. We brought you the news yesterday that Darmian would be staying at Manchester United more likely now because Leonardo Spinazzola, who, of course, was rumoured to be loaned out by Juventus to Bologna, he said, no, I don't want to be loaned out. So Darmian means, well, maybe he will stay at United and he will not come in as a replacement. Massimiliano Allegri, though, has hinted that they can both be in the squad.
Interesting.
Now, we went through the squad list yesterday and we thought, how is this possible? The reason he wants this player, Darmian, still in the squad is because Juan Cuadrado is injured and there are fears that he may be injured a little longer than they anticipate. Darmian, a right-sided player looking to bring in some cover on that right side, may be the player they bring in still.
So that's interesting because I've sort of read things that are a little bit contrary to that, not from a Juventus perspective, but where he actually could end up.
Inter Milan,
because Shime Versalco, the contract that he has with the Nerazzurri, it's a loan with an option to buy for about 18. He hasn't quite settled in. He hasn't gotten the game time, and he hasn't really brought the form that he showed towards the second half of last season at Atleti. Of course, we know his exploits at the FIFA World Cup, but he hasn't really been able to show them. And hasn't even really been able to establish himself at the Nerazzurri. If all of a sudden Inter can try and get Matteo Darmian, he'd be guaranteed starting 11 spot, and he wouldn't have to be worrying about whether, you know, Juan Cuadrado is still injured, whether João Cancelo or Matias Di Ciglio are not playing at their best, or Leonardo Spinazzola is ready to go or not.
Inter linked, Inter are suitable, Inter would have more game time on offer for the player, but I think the player, given his recent links to Juventus, I still favour Juve in the race between the two here. Even if it is just an initial loan move, I favour the Bianconeri.
Do you know what Giuseppe Marotta can do? He has proven it time and time again, and now he is there. Even, of course, Napoli could even go after him. Right-sided, right back, maybe they might come with it and get him.
Matt Sam through the Facebook Live. Hey, guys, I heard Napoli might get this player, Pablo Fornals from Villarreal. Any good? We briefly discussed it, but Fornals, of course, youngster at Villarreal. I first came across Fornals and have watched him closely since a famous goal he scored at the Santiago Bernabeu for Villarreal against Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey, which eliminated them last season. Very talented player, but what we both believe, Matt, is that I don't think that Napoli necessarily need this player at this point in time.
I think they've got enough weapons up top
that
they don't need the Spanish man.
There are certainly some interesting moves that could take place. Alan, the future still unclear, still linked to Paris Saint-Germain. We're still unsure as to what the future holds for that player and the club. And if a player like Alan is sold, Alan and Jorginho in 12 months, cover needs to come in the centre of the park.
That
no
hurts.
Doubt about it. For Fornals to come in at this point, not so sure.
Yeah.
Milik with a stunning goal at the weekend. There's lots of attacking quality as it is. For me, no.
No. For me as well, I think he'd be paying too much. I think he's about 25 to 30 million is where they're roughly saying the price might be at. That's where his release clause is at. For me, Matt, unfortunately, I don't think Pablo Fornals is the right player for Napoli. Darmian, yes. A little bit of an age difference, but certainly not Pablo Fornals.
22 years of age, Pablo Fornals. Malaga and Villarreal, his two professional clubs at this stage of his young career. Just a couple of other stories to wrap up today's program, and we will go to Dele Alli and Tottenham. Tottenham have confirmed that a hamstring strain will rule the England international out until March. No Ali, no Kane until March, no Son until the Asian Cup ends. This is a disaster for Tottenham.
And you talk about death being tested. This is now exactly it. Moussa Dembele, as we brought to you last week, moved on. So there's already a whole heap of players in that sort of midfield area that are all absent for Mauricio Pochettino. It's Fernando Llorente, Christian Eriksen and Eric Lamela with Lucas Moura off the bench, who are going to have to provide all these goals over the next few weeks going forward.
More on them to come tomorrow when we preview the Chelsea-Tottenham clash. But I don't fancy them at all in that match. I think Chelsea will respond and have a big win.
I still think Tottenham, with that one-goal lead, might be able to just sit back, absorb, and maybe they'll get through just on that basis.
I think a lot depends on what happens early. But if Chelsea get that goal and Tottenham can't absorb, I think it's game over. I think Chelsea could have a big win against Tottenham. I think a 3-0 win Chelsea can record, knowing how hungry they will be to bounce back and get
and
a win.
Knowing that I want to actually lose two London derbies in the space of about five
spot
days.
Spot on. Absolutely right. Just one other one in England before one in the United States to wrap up the show. The new Huddersfield boss has said, did you see his quotes? He's taken on the new job as boss of Huddersfield. He's left his post at Dortmund under 23s because he genuinely believes he can keep Huddersfield up this season.
That's very interesting. He's going to try and
He's taken the job.
He's going to try and do a Claudio Ranieri, a Ralf Hasenhüttl, and now he's going to throw himself into the mix.
They've left it too late.
Yeah, unfortunately.
15 games to go. They are 10 points behind the Newcastle team, who occupy 19th and a safe position.
Just quickly, let's run through just three of those four bottom coaches. Rafa Benitez is just above the danger zone. Hasenhüttl has come across from Leipzig and now Ranieri. He's going to have a lot of work on his hands if the former Borussia Dortmund reserve team coach all of a sudden is going to somehow do the impossible.
And when your leading scorer in your team is Mathias Jorgensen, a defender, you have a few issues
You're
on
in
your
trouble.
Hands. Everton to come, then Chelsea, Arsenal, Newcastle. It's not getting any easier for Huddersfield. And following that, every game feels like it's a tough game, but they have a few winnable games to come after that against their direct rivals anyway. But that's them. Their Pinos come through. Cheers, guys. Keep up the good work. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Their last one, Tim Howard, of course, former Everton goalkeeper, mentioned them there. He's set to retire. He is taking to social media to say, I'm greatly looking forward to kicking off the 2019 MLS season, as it will be my last in capitals. There will be plenty of time for sentiment later. For now, I'm going to enjoy every minute, and as I've always done, compete hard and help lead the Rapids with the sole purpose of winning. So a great of US soccer bows out, of course, playing with the Colorado Rapids. This season, he has confirmed, will be his last.
I still remember him scoring that goal from basically inside his own penalty box, bouncing it all the way through. Congratulations there.
Absolutely. Congratulations. He'll bow out aged 40 years of age. On that note, we are done with a very big show. That was, thank you so much for joining us, whether it was on Facebook Live or via our app or website over the course of the program. But we will be back tomorrow to do it with you all over again. For now, though, for myself, Adriano Del Monte, and Rick D'Andrea, this has been Afternoons here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and right around the world. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.